As we continue our study called Understanding Millennials, born 1982 to 2004, today we're talking about millennials and entertainment. Millennials are defined as those born between 1982 and 2004, although the exact years will vary by the source. This group is larger than Generation X and has a big impact on social media, the adoption of new technologies, and on entertainment. How are millennials changing entertainment? Well, let's look at the numbers. Point number one, 18 to 24, the age group that has the lowest rate of moviegoers, and it's dropping. Last year, 5.7 million people in this group considered themselves frequent viewers. The group favors spending time on social media or watching content on sites like Netflix over attending movies or watching television. This trend is slightly offset by those younger than 18 and those older than 60 who are watching more films. Still, it's enough to make 2016 the lowest year since 1920 for total tickets sold per person. The source of that is The Atlantic. Point number two, 50 billion, the number of views YouTube videos receive monthly. The popularity of the service has prompted multi-channel networks and talent agencies to sign YouTubers to deals for commercials and television shows. The goal is to attract millennials who watch online content in large numbers. While this is the same group that is abandoning traditional media, attracting millennials to online content makes financial sense. So much so that companies such as Facebook have started to produce online content after years of saying that they never would. The source of that is The Guardian. Point three, $45 billion. The amount of six major media companies, 21st Century Fox, CBS, Discovery, Time Warner, Viacom, and Walt Disney, lost in market value in 6 weeks this spring. The drop was blamed on investors who were concerned that millennials are canceling their cable subscriptions in favor of streaming services. This is a trend known as cord cutting. eMarketer estimates that a fifth of U.S. households will have taken that route by 2018. Television advertisers also are affected as people are accustomed to commercial-free viewing on streaming services. Ad blockers are estimated to cause a $41 billion revenue loss in 2016. All this means both networks and advertisers will need to adapt to the changing digital world. And the source of that is Fortune. Point four, 1.8 seconds. That's how long Netflix viewers spend considering each title. Consumer research indicates 82% of the time users don't read titles or descriptions, but make viewing decisions based on graphics. In addition, users often moved on to another selection after as little as 90 seconds if the content didn't capture their attention. The research also showed that users responded to images that feature three or fewer people and images of people expressing complex emotions. The source of that is Fast Company. And point five, 1 million views. The amount of traffic plastic surgeon Matthew Shulman's Snapchat account receives daily, the majority of whom are from viewers 18 to 32. Videos by Shulman and other doctors are meant to be educational. Some millennials are using them to learn what to expect for their upcoming cosmetic procedures, but others are watching the videos for entertainment purposes. The source of that is the New York Post. 1,000 Millennial Study explores entertainment consumption. We recruited and surveyed respondents through Surveys on the Go, M4's all-mobile, app-based research technology methodology, which reaches more than 1 million active panelists. The study collected 1,000 demographically representative validated responses within 2 hours of launch on September 10, 2016. The length of the interview was approximately 15 minutes. Respondents were segmented by sex, race, and ethnicity, type of work, income, and age. We divided our millennial subjects into 3, 6, or 7 year age brackets. And here are the five insights that they found interesting. One, streaming is king. Streamed programming is the most frequent viewing choice for 58% of millennials, more than double the 28% who most often watch cable or satellite television. There's a substantial drop-off for cable satellite viewing among millennials who haven't yet turned 30. Only 18.5% of this younger group say cable satellite TV is their first choice, compared to 37% of millennials aged 30 to 36. 78% of all millennials consider a paid streaming platform their first or second choice when watching television, with 76% saying they are streaming more from paid services than they did a year ago. But most millennials haven't cut the cord on cable entirely. 64% of those who no longer live with a parent still subscribe to cable or satellite TV. Number two, binge watching is huge. By nearly 4-1, 78% to 22%, millennials prefer a television series to be released all at once rather than having to wait for a weekly episode over the course of a season. And 68% said they had binged on TV during the past month. 53% during the previous week. Across every grouping, sex, age bracket, race, ethnicity, and income level, U.S. millennials are united in their eagerness to binge on TV shows. Three, music downloads are going mobile. More than half of millennials, 56%, said that they had downloaded music to a mobile device within the past month, surpassing the 43% who download tunes to a desktop or laptop. African Americans were especially active downloaders, with 69% saying they downloaded music straight to their mobile in the past month, and 53% downloaded to a PC. Downloads for Caucasians were 55% mobile and 38% PC. Hispanics, Latinos went 57% for mobile and 46% for PCs. Opting out of going out. That's point four. Fewer than half of millennials, 43%, said that they had been to a movie theater in the past month, and 17.5% had been to a live concert. 40.8% hadn't been to a live concert in the last 6 months. And in addition, 15% had never experienced a concert. Lastly, viewing on smartphones is second only to television. 91% of millennials said they access entertainment on a television screen, with mobile phones second at 73%. Desktops and laptops were third at 63%, and 47% watch or listen on tablets. The youngest millennials, ages 18 to 24, show a preference for watching on smartphones, 74% versus 69% for respondents 25 and older. There's also an intergenerational difference for TV screens, used by 89% of the youngest group and 93% of 25 and olders. Next article is from Business Insider. These are the TV shows millennials love, according to a brand expert. Millennials are the coolest kids on the consumer block. Companies are trampling over each other in the race to figure out what they want, and that includes TV networks. In May, the CW announced that it was creating a digital channel called CW Good. It's meant to tap into the millennial generation's desire for content around social causes. CW Good will feature the causes its stars and fans support, as well as original series meant to inspire. The CW, which targets a younger audience than the other broadcast networks, has long used its digital arm to experiment with content. But could it already be on the wrong track with CW Good? Anybody who's going to lean into the social causes saying it's good for you are not going to win. Linda Ong, ONG, CEO and founder of the cultural research and branding company TruthCo, told Business Insider. Ong, who said the CW is a TruthCo client, though her company wasn't part of developing CW Good, argues that it's too early to judge how effective the digital platform will be with millennials. It will all depend on the execution, she said. Untold Business Insider that TV shows millennials are most engaged with, according to Truthco's brand analysis. Millennials, like all of us, are making their way through a fire hose of content. Millennials can seem awfully abstract, but it's worth noting that they're not actually so young, nor are they so separated from other generations. Under the framework established by generation researchers Neil Howe and William Strauss, millennials were born between 1982 and 2004. So currently, the bulk of millennials are older than the age of 20 to about 34 years old. We need to stop talking about millennials like Donald Trump speaks about Mexicans, Ong said. They're not a horrible invading species, they're people, and they're very influential in our culture. Millennial ideas radiate to everybody. There are more non-millennials than millennials on Facebook now. And their TV viewing behaviors and tastes can align with older generations in that they are looking for ways to filter through the incredible amount of content that's available. At least 400 scripted shows were on TV in 2015. Right now, there is an abundance of fire hose of content, and consumers have to use very different kinds of filters to determine what it is that they're actually going to invest their time in, Ong said. Millennials want entertaining content that also changes the world. It used to be about quality entertainment and social traction, but now in the golden age of TV, there's too much quality entertainment for that to be an effective filter. The next filter has to do with how we believe and how we were raised. Some of the basic underpinning of the millennial culture was that everybody got a trophy, Ong said. We can laugh at that, but they were brought up valuing equality. They were raised with a sense of fairness, and that's what they're trying to enact now. Everything they do has to align with their values. And so one way for content creators to capture millennial audience is to lead with quality entertainment that has an underlying social element to it. I think what we're starting to see are shows like Making a Murderer and American Crime springing from an idea that program or content with social value can be entertaining, Ong said. But now content comes from a place where the very act of investing your time to watch it helps make the world a better place because you become more aware of things, or even sometimes you can act on things. And here are TV shows that most reflect the millennial values according to their research. Standard young millennial programming, which tends to lean toward preachy, reflecting the generation's social values. So you've got Degrassi, The New Class, you've got The Fosters, and you have Switched at Birth. There's also scripted dramas looking to discuss social issues and create dialogue. American Crime, Empire, How to Get Away with Murder, Jessica Jones, Scandal, The People versus O.J. Simpson, and You're the Worst. Or scripted comedies with an underlying social message. Blackish, The Carmichael Show, Inside Amy Schumer, Transparent, You're the Worst, and Louie. Unscripted with a social angle. Becoming Us, Born This Way, I Am Kate, I Am Jazz. Documentaries looking to create social change. The 30 for 30s, Going Clear, The Jinx, Making a Murderer, Vice, and then the Vice Network. And then news-driven programs with social commentary. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. We take the shift over to movies, and it's interesting what is very, very popular. On a graphic that shows the results of this, these surveys being taken, and the movies that appear in bold print are the movies that are the most requested or the most millennials line up with when it comes to their values and what they hold to as dear, and also what speaks to them concerning the culture. Mean Girls, big, big letters for Mean Girls. Neighbors, The Social Network, The Avengers, Hunger Games, The Wolf of Wall Street, The Hangover, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. We even see on here The Breakfast Club, which is a Gen X movie, but it's a show that resonates with those that are part of the millennial generation. We move from that over to music, and in bold letters we see the word don't have a favorite. And so when they're asked the question, that's what they answer. Taylor Swift is in huge letters. And then we move down from there. There's Too Many to Choose, Maroon 5, The Beatles. Below that is even Beyonce, Ed Sheeran. And so we've got these names of different groups, Eminem, Coldplay, Imagine Dragons, Katy Perry, Sam Smith, and it goes even down smaller, and you start to see some bands like Linkin Park. You see Zac Brown Band, and the names get smaller and smaller due to them listing that as something that is the most popular to them. When I think, as I look at the millennial generation, it would be unfair to them to, it would be painting with a broad brush to say this song or this group is the one that exemplifies them completely. But I see in one song by Lady Gaga something that resonates with the values of many in the millennial generation. A song entitled Born This Way communicates this.
Or capital
So as I view the lyrics to this, so many things that would resonate, talking about the fact that you're born this way. Her mom is talking to her, he says, there's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, because he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up and you'll go far. Listen to me when I say, I'm beautiful in my way because God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Don't hide yourself in regret. Just love yourself and you're set. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. And you can go down through the lyrics, and it gets even to the near the end of the song, and it says, no matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. No matter black, white, or beige, Shola, or Orient Maid, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. And so the whole idea of tolerance, the whole idea of acceptability, which aren't bad values, but as the years go by and more things are acceptable, and in our entertainment, much of what we pick up philosophically drives us. It moves us to a way of thinking. And this happens through comedy. This happens through drama. This happens through music. And so philosophies are being taught. And so as we would watch Lady Gaga, who was at the past Super Bowl halftime show, excellent singer, amazing ability, in the midst of that is put a philosophy that says God made you a certain way. And the way he made you, you don't have to worry about that. You were born this way. You were, that's how you're wired. And so don't fight that. Well, sometimes people are born a certain way. And the Bible teaches that we're born in sin. And much about what we're given in life, personality and things like that, isn't sinful in and of itself. But there are certain things, certain drives, certain aspects of life that we have to stop and say, even though I'm born this way, I'm born into a fallen world, and some of the aspects of my life are not good. And so a generation that has been promoted and given the most self-love, the most self-esteem, the highest self-image is a generation that is dealing with a load of anxiety and problems. And so even in our entertainment choices and the choices that are put before us, we have to say, as we talk with individuals from any generation, but specifically as we're looking at millennials, that for years certain things have been said, and it's okay, and this is how you are. And so much of what I see, I have opportunity to teach as a substitute in the public high school in town, and love these young people and the opportunities that I have with them. The problems that I see rising, at one point, there's a tolerance and an acceptability of people that years ago, when I was in high school, it wasn't tolerant, and I meant things that should have been in the area of how we relate to the handicap, how we relate to people of different philosophies and thought processes, and instead of talking those people down or treating them in a certain way, which was wrong, this generation, with my respect, is accepting of all different types of thinking and looks and ideas and fashions, and there's a beauty to that. The problem lies in the fact that there's never the understanding that it's okay to make judgments. It's okay to say, because everybody's doing it anyways in their brain, but it's how I go about doing that, not making a final judgment on people, but a willingness to look and say, okay, what are the entertainment choices that are being made? I have to look at that in my own life even, not just making that judgment, but saying, okay, why is this resonating with this generation? Why is the culture accepting of this? And what aspects of it, not based on my traditional viewpoints, but what does the Bible say? And I believe that Jesus Christ has come to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. And so he's been able to transcend culture and each of these generations with their good and their bad. Christ reaches in there and he's willing to work in all of that. And so instead of looking at this generation with a judgmental eye, and I mean judgmental in a negative way, I make judgments and I am discerning, but then I discuss based on the fact that I'm broken too. And I'm willing to discuss, why is the anti-hero such a popular thing in this culture? Why is this philosophy being accepted? And let's talk about that a little bit. And listen. And be aware. And be aware of my hypocrisy when I am talking. So that if a point is being brought up about my generation, that I'm not defensive as if my generation was the right one. But also be willing to listen, and also, if I need to disagree, disagree with respect, because I'd want that, and looking at entertainment choices across the board. I think this is the thing that will make all the difference with across generational lines, and we could see great things happen.